The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program on this black-eyed Susan's Day out at Pimlico Racecourse. And of course, we come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at the South Point Studios on the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube. And of course, from the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard. And of course, we simulcast on many different platforms, including our anchor radio station here in town, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM, in case you're running around town this morning on a beautiful morning here in Las Vegas. And of course, our websites, racedaylasvegas.com.vegas.world.global, iPhone, Android. We got that covered too with the apps. You can get the KSHP app to listen to us, or the YouTube app to listen and watch us as well on your devices. And of course, anywhere you get your podcasting as well. We welcome you to this Friday Black-Eyed Susan Day show. The Black-Eyed Susan, of course, is the main event at Pimlico Racecourse today. It is the counterpart of the Kentucky Oaks for the three-year-old fillies, along with five other stakes races. And on today's show, we're going to have a mini seminar on all of those six stakes races with handicappers Jonathan Hardoon and John Lendo. That'll happen a little bit later on. But setting the table for today at Baltimore, Maryland, where the temperature is going to get to 77 degrees today. Right now, it's around 63 there. At Baltimore, 2% chance of rain. They say it's a beautiful day right now at Pimlico and, of course, in Baltimore. However, looking at the weather pattern, there is a front that's moving right across the Midwest into the plain, from the Plain States to the Midwest and on out to the East Coast that covers from the north to the southern portions of the East Coast. And a lot of rain right now over Kentucky and Tennessee and Ohio. And it's making its way across, of course, Pennsylvania and then down to Maryland, New Jersey, New York, etc. So today is a calm day, but not tomorrow, because tomorrow they say that front will get to that East Coast. And they say the predictions for tomorrow, Preakness Day, is an 81% chance of rain in Baltimore, Maryland, of course, where Pimlico is at, Old Hilltop. They're going to top off at 67 degrees tomorrow after 62 overnight, which you can see that the temperatures are not that much because the cloud cover and all of the rain are going to come in and keep the temperatures pretty well stabilized there. So we got to enjoy today's racing and hopefully that Mother Nature will get that storm passed maybe overnight, get it out of the way by the Preakness tomorrow. Of course, the Preakness is one of the later races. 14 races tomorrow at Pimlico, 9 stakes races, including the Preakness, and of course, they'll start early, 7:30 a.m. Pacific time. So we will be on the air with our show tomorrow morning. Halfway through our show, the first race will already be underway. As far as today at Pimlico, it is also an early post time. Early post time is 8:30 a.m. Pacific time, about a half an hour after we're done with the show. Right now, track conditions are fast and good. The track is labeled fast. The turf course is labeled good. As we get into the handicapping with Jonathan and John a little bit later on, we will give you what we have as far as late scratches so far on that big day of racing. Looking quickly at what happened yesterday before we go to our first break and our menu and our handicappers, at Belmont at Aqueduct, Linda Rice and Jose Lascano ripped off three consecutive winners yesterday. They won the third race at $7.60, the fourth race at $3.50, and the fifth race at $3.70. So the racing public were figuring out the Lescano Rice team yesterday. And listen to this. The first pick five, all winning numbers were one. The first pick five was 1-1-1-1, and yes, one. All ones across the board, the pick five paid $49.50 for the 50-cent bet. We want to thank Jerry Jackowitz for a couple of winners. In his second race, he gave us Valuse to win. Valuse did so and paid $4.30. And in the eighth and final race, Jerry came with a horse that ran second. And as you know, he always tells you to reverse with the key horse because the reverses can pay more. And it did yesterday. One of his link-ups won the race, paid $37.60. His key horse ran second. So the $1 reverse exacta paid $97.75. The pick six at Aqueduct, Belmont at Aqueduct yesterday, a little bit over $3,000, $3,087 there. Jonathan Hardoons got scratched in the starting gate yesterday at Churchill Downs. The horse flipped in the gate and was scratched. No harm, no foul there. Rich Ang came with a winner in the fifth race. Rosia Bay with Luan Machado aboard paid $7.88. John Lindo's selection in the seventh race got run down. His horse ran second, could not catch the winner at 6-1 there at Churchill. And as far as Pimlico yesterday, I know the track was off, but all I can say is Brittany Russell and Sheldon Russell teamed together to win a couple of races, paying $5.80 and $13.40 as well. Really no big shockers yesterday at Pimlico. They did have a wind dead heat in the fourth race there. All right. We're getting ready to get our handicappers set and ready to go. Jonathan and John Lindo, of course, Rich Ang will be with us later, as well as Jerry Jackowitz with his selections for Aqueduct. And as far as everything else is concerned, this is Black Eyed Susan Day at Pimlico. It is the day for the fillies and always the ladies first. As you know, the Preakness will be tomorrow. We will be back with our show coming to you live and direct from the gaming capital, covering the great sport of horse racing, Las Vegas style. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Okay, back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Black Eyed Susan Day. And before we get started with our handicapping, we'll give you the racing menu of racetracks available today. Want to remind everybody that Golden Gate, that was scheduled to run on Fridays, has canceled not only today, but next Friday as well. And now we hear that Golden Gate will be canceling Sunday as well. They say lack of entries at Golden Gate. Of course, you know, it's becoming a ghost town there because there's somewhat of a mass exodus going on at Golden Gate as far as horses, because we know they will be closing down in June. But I got to tell you, jockey Anton Georgie texted out yesterday that he said there's plenty of horses at the track. He doesn't think they're carding the right races for there. So Mr. Anton Georgie got a little bit of a controversy going there. As far as it's concerned, though, Golden Gate canceled today and Sunday this week. Let's go to the racing menu of racetracks available today in the racebooks, simulcast centers, and racetracks around the country. And, of course, first post times are Pacific. If you're here in Las Vegas, come into the racebook today at the South Point. These will be the first post times. We are in the Pacific time zone. Otherwise, all of you people listening on the other different formats that we have around the world in different time zones, adjust to the Pacific time zone. Don't want you to miss anything. Of course, like I miss Mom and Dad. And again, remember, that front is making its way towards the East Coast, so keep that in mind for the racetracks in that area, okay? First post times are Pacific. We begin with Pimlico Racecourse on the day of Black Eyed Susan. We've got 14 races today, 6 stakes races at Pimlico. First post time is 8:30. Seven turf races today at Pimlico. Two of them are on our stakes races on the turf, and we understand that it's good. The turf course is good, so we expect all of the turf races to run on the turf today. The track is labeled fast. 8:30, first post time there. Stakes races, so we'll get into them with John and Jonathan in just a moment. We'll run through all of those stakes races today at Pimlico. Big day of racing there. Belterra Park. Belterra Park has eight races today, and their first post time is 9:15. 9:15 at Belterra Park. Let's see. Churchill Downs is next. They've got nine races at Churchill. Pick six jackpot carryover there, $17,184. First post time at Churchill Downs is at 9:45. 9:45 at Churchill Downs. Aqueduct, Belmont at Aqueduct, they're next. Their first post time is 10:05 at Belmont at Aqueduct today. Gulfstream Park has nine races. Their pick six rainbow jackpot carryover, $79,098. First post time at Gulfstream is at 10:10. 10:10 at Gulfstream. Woodbine, north of the border. Woodbine has eight races today. They have a super high five jackpot carryover there of $48,270. First post time at Woodbine is at 10:10. Santa Anita kicks into action today. Santa Anita in Southern California has eight races. Their first post time is 1 o'clock this afternoon. 1 o'clock at Santa Anita today. Penn National has seven races. Their first post time at Penn National is at 2:45. Evangeline Downs has nine races. Their first post time is 3:30. Then we go to Prairie Meadows. First post time at Prairie Meadows today is eight races is at 4 p.m. And Charlestown, is their first post time for eight races is also at 4 p.m. And that's your racing menu, as you can see there on the screen, for today's racing. But all eyes today are on Baltimore, Maryland. And not only do they have probably the greatest crab cakes in the world there, but they also got some great racing today at Old Hilltop at Pimlico. I want to bring in our handicappers now, Jonathan Hardoon and John Leno. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Ralph. Good morning, John.
All right, we're going to go through the races at Pimlico. John, you know, we have fast racing conditions today, and the track is labeled good, gentlemen. That probably won't be the case tomorrow, the way the front's moving through. But for today, it's going to be fine. First race goes at 8:30, and the first stakes race of the day won't be until the seventh race today. And then they'll reel off all the stakes races in order. The eighth race is the first stakes race. By the way, you know, I got to tell you guys, there's one, two, three, I'm counting it right now, four, five pick fives, five different pick five pools on today's racing card at Pimlico. Pick fours, one, two, three, four, five pick fours as well. Oh, yes, they're squeezing in the pick six, too, on a 14 race card. You got plenty of action to go on. And the first race of the stakes races, the six stakes races, is the Allaire DuPont Distaff at 1 1/8 for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up. Jonathan, you gave me a scratch earlier on the card in that eighth race. The six Cats in the Timber have been scratched. Of course, a long shot there. So that'll leave a field of seven. Morning line favorite at 9-5 is Shotgun Hottie with Paco Lopez. I'll go to Jonathan first and then get to John for a look at the DuPont. Jonathan?
Okay, Ralph. Well, the whole edge in the race, in my opinion, is betting against the 8 Shotgun Hottie, who's the 9-5 morning line favorite. I think she's lost a step. She's 5 years old now. And the race, really, in my opinion, is between the 1 Julia Shining and the 4 Musical Mischief. They're the second and third choices. I gave a slight edge to the 1 Julia Shining, but those are the two horses in the race which I like.
All right, John, you see it the same way. Do you think the favorite is the right call?
No, I agree with Jonathan. I like Musical Mischief in here quite a bit. She wants a distance to ground on the dirt, and she gets the 1 1/8 today. She came back and ran a really good race when she outfinished Julia Shining over at Keeneland in her comeback. That was at 1 1/16. If I'm Johnny Velasquez, I just put Musical Mischief on the lead. She'll carry as far as they write races, and we'll see how this track is playing today. It was very fair yesterday, the main track. But Musical Mischief for me, Julia Shining, I still have to see her. You know, she's kind of been hanging a little bit in her last few starts. I don't trust her. And again, I don't like Shotgun Hottie either. So I like Musical Mischief quite a bit in here.
All right, so Julia Shining and Musical Mischief are the two horses that are key horses, you guys think, in the Hilaire DuPont distaff. By the way, neither one of you guys like that 9-to-5 morning line favorite as your top pick, but I would imagine if you're doing gimmicks like exactas, trifectas, have to throw her there underneath somehow, don't you guys?
No.
Jonathan? I'm going to take a stand against her. I'm not going to use her at all.
At all. Neither one of you guys are going to use her at all. Out the door with the favorite in the first of the stakes races. Love it, boys. Love it. That's for sure. Your observation, like you said, John, it's going to be kind of hard to judge what happened yesterday at Pimlico to today because they say the track's going to start off fast, which means overnight they must have worked it or somehow or another. I mean, it must have dried out because it looked pretty muddy yesterday until towards the end of the card, right?
Well, yeah, I think the track was raining fast. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jonathan, and then we'll get to John.
Well, it started off raining early in the morning, yeah. And it stopped, and, you know, it started off wet, and they had it sealed, so it dried out most of the day, and hopefully today it's fast.
And you concur, John?
Yeah, I agree. The question for me is going to be the turf course. They have not used the turf course yet at the meet. Today will be the very first day, so we have no idea, you know, how much moisture it got earlier in the week when it rained. It's listed as good. But it is in pristine condition, and you know the rails are down at zero, so they've got a big wide course. So the grass course is going to be the question mark for me.
Okay, I want to remind everybody we're going to get to the ninth race now. That's the second of the six consecutive stakes races on today's card. It is the Hilltop Stakes at 1 mile, scheduled for the turf for 3-year-old fillies. We got 3 scratches in that race of the 10 that were entered, so now we just got 7 in the race. Scratch numbers: 7 Society Ball, the 9 Modern Sound, and the 10 Brown Sugar Babe. The 7, 9, and 10 are out. Do want to remind everybody, for those folks coming here at the South Point today here in town, John Lendo not only has the Lendo report for Santa Anita's full card today, but he's covering the stakes races as well on Pimlico. It's a 2-page Lendo report today. And he suggests a late pick 5 on that sheet that starts in the 5th race. So, John, we'll let you go first in the Hilltop.
The Hilltop's a good race. You have She Feels Pretty coming off a very good effort at Santa Anita in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. She's run well in 3 different courses. She's training well. I can't knock her, but, you know, just off the layoff on this course, she's the 7-to-5 morning line favorite. You have to use her, but as far as value on the win bet, there isn't any. I like number 2, Royal Winter, in here. This is a filly that it really looks like she tries hard, and I like the game that she showed winning at Keeneland last time. That was at a further distance, 1 3/16. Shortens back to 1 mile today. She's going to be the one that's going to sit back and make the last run. And this course tends to help those type of horses. So Royal Winter for me, number 3, Expatriate, was very game breaking her maiden at Gulfstream for Chad Brown. He usually gives him one at Gulfstream and picks up the pace when he goes other places. So I expect her to move forward today. So I made the race 2-3. And then the favorite, She Feels Pretty. I'll use all of them in the pick 5.
All right, Jonathan?
I was a little different. I agree with John about the 2 and the 6, but my third horse in the race was the 4, Ways of Mischief. Brendan Walsh sends this horse out, Tyler Gaffleon rides. But again, the 6 ran very well as a 2-year-old when last seen in the Breeders' Cup. She actually went off the favorite that day, breaking from post 11. So let's see how she does off the layoff. But she ran real well as a 2-year-old. I don't think you're going to get rich in this race. I think, you know, they have it right. The shorter-priced horses are a little better than the rest. 6-2-4, my order in today's ninth race.
And, of course, number 6, She Feels Pretty, is trained by Sherry DeVoe, who's a very accomplished trainer and is coming to her own, that's for sure, in the last couple of years. The 6, She Feels Pretty, is the key horse in this race. But, you know, Royal Winter and Expatriate, the 2 horses that you like with her, John, are nice 3 and 6 to 1 on the morning line. And Jonathan's horse is 4 to 1 on the morning line. So this race does possess, if you can get the rattle in the, you know, the exotics just right, does possess a chance to make a nice payoff in the race. All right. Then we get to the 10th race. This is the Miss Preakness Stakes for 3-year-old fillies at 6 furlongs. It's the 10th race on the card. There are a dozen in this race, and no scratches to this time in that race, according to the latest update at Pimlico. Launch, the 4 horse, is at 9-2 at Luis Saez, but the favorite there is number 3. You almost had me at 2-1 with Tyler Gaffleon. Jonathan?
I like the one horse in here, Mystic Lake, a 3-year-old filly from the Safi Joseph barn. I like the rider switch. Flavian Pratt climbs aboard for the first time. I think she's going to be the controlling speed from the rail. You're getting 6-1, more than a fair price. I would use her with a couple of price horses, number 2 Value Area and number 10 Discreet Ops, one with the 2 and 10. Even the 5 has a little bit of a shot, Lady Moscato. But I think the 1 is the key there, especially if you get anywhere near that price.
And ridden by Flavian Pratt, drawing the rail in the 6-furlong race. Gents, and watching the races yesterday at Pimlico, any biases one way or the other as far as post position is concerned? I know that the 1 post going 6 furlongs always a kind of a caution when you're picking a horse. You got to get it away in good order. But anything, Jonathan, that you saw that that people should know?
I thought the track was dead even yesterday. You could win, you know, from behind on the lead. It was a fair track. And, you know, if you get that again today, it's only good news.
John, I see that you see this race differently. As a matter of fact, I think one of your selections for today on the race day show, your official selection, will be in this race. So you see it differently, and tell us how you see it.
Yeah, to me, this is a wide open race, Ralph. I came up with a long shot that I like. I would make for my first radio play today, and that's number 7, Carmelina. I don't think she's a route filly. She comes out of the Gazelle, which was a mile and an eighth at Aqueduct. It was just too far. You know, she stayed in the race until about the top of the lane, got a little bit tired. That ought to have her legged up for a 6-furlong race. She'll be dead fit cutting back in distance. She's better around one turn. She's drawn outside a lot of that speed, so she ought to get that trip where she's just sitting on the outside stalking. And that fitness may pay dividends today. She's 12-1 on the morning line. I don't think she's going to take a lot of wagering, so I like her a little bit in here. If you're playing exotics, you know, the rolling bets, I would spread this race. If you're playing within the race, exactus and tries, I do think the favorite, number 3, Almost Had Me, is the one to beat. I agree with John Hardoon. I think Mystic Lake's going to run a big one in here. And you got to remember, at Pimlico, the 6-furlong race, there is no run-up. They start right on the pole because it goes right to the edge of the backstretch there. There's no place to extend the track at all. So it's a relatively short 6 furlongs, and the first quarter there is usually slow, you know, 23 and change, because they don't get a running start.
Well, I can see by her past performances that long shot that you like in this race has had 2 starts at the 6-furlong distance. One of them, of course, that was a stakes race at Penn National on a good track. So if there's a little give in this track, maybe that's going to help her as well. But boy, love to get that 12-1 price so we can shop around with all these other horses in the race and try to make a real nice gimmick out of a payoff there in the Miss Preakness. So Jonathan in this race likes the 1, Mystic Lake, and you like the 7, both the 6 and 12-1 shots on the morning line. So this could be a very fruitful, productive race for the race day crew, that's for sure. And John, this is going to be an official pick on the show, right? The 7, Carmelina?
Yeah, that'll be my play at Pimlico today. 12-1 is too good to pass up.
All right, you got it, my man. Now we move to the 11th race, the $100,000, the Very One Stakes, at 5 furlongs on the turf for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up. You know you got to get away from the gate in good order in this race because it's a short 5-furlong race, and there's one quick left turn in the route of this race. An overflow field of 13 was entered, but we have 3 late scratches. We'll bring the field down to 10. In this race, scratch number 3, Port Townsend, number 4, Cowpea Maker, and number 11, Animosity, I guess. Anonymity, whatever. I got
anonymously.
Anonymously.
Well, here's the thing. I was trying to get through that big bold scratch that I put through it and couldn't figure it out because the pen scratched it out. So I'm glad you guys kept that. That's for sure. So the 3, 4, and the 11 anonymously. That's definitely that. All right. So we got 10 in the race, and I'm not going to give you the scratches anymore. I'll just give you the numbers because my pen has really worked a good, just scratching out the horse completely. So, Jonathan, how do you see this race?
Well, the 4, Coffee Maker, is a huge scratch in here, Ralph. This horse had one way to go, and that was full steam ahead, and she would have added plenty of speed to the race. I ended up on the one before the scratch of Queen of the Mud, again, Flavian Pratt for Grand Motion. I just think this horse is going to fall into a great spot here. I like some big price horses underneath. I like the 6, Shoshana. I like the 8, All That Magic. But I think the one's going to be tough in here, 1/6 and 8.
All right. The one horse Queen of the Mud is your play in this race, Jonathan. And John, how do you see this race?
Yeah, I agree with Jonathan here. I think the one Queen of the Mud, she got better with every start last year. She's fresh. The Grand Motion stable, very good off the layoff. On a pristine course, she ought to fall into a good stocking trip. There is a lot of speed, even with the scratch of Coffee Maker and Port Townsend. So I think she'll be in that pocket. You know, Flavian Pratt is as good as there is, working her way out and finding a clear path in the lane. And I also agree with Jonathan. I like 8, All That Magic, to get in the exotics. I think this is a filly that tries every time. For her, we don't want to see rain because I don't think she likes turf that's very soft. So the firmer it is, the better the chances for 8, All That Magic. But I like the race 1 and 8.
Okay, so we're going to hope that 1, Queen of the Mud, is the queen of the turf today at Pimlico and gets a nice trip, ground saving at the start, no doubt about it. And Flavian Pratt, of course, as you know, is very capable and very talented in getting a horse out and in the clear. Queen of the Mud is the key in this race. You got a lot of nice, good long shots. The 8 horse, All That Magic, 5-1 on the morning line with Luis Saez, and we know that he's been riding well. And a big 20-1 shot there for Jonathan Hardoon. You like the 6 in that race as well, so Shauna. And if we can get those horses rattling in, it'll be something, that's for sure. John, Lindo, I have to ask you this question. Of course, Muth has been scratched in the Preakness. Juan Hernandez, who was scheduled to go and ride a few horses both today and tomorrow at Pimlico, I've heard different things about that. Is he going to ride at Santa Anita tomorrow? Is he going to keep the other engagements he has at Pimlico tomorrow?
Yeah, because of the scratch, Juan Hernandez did not make the trip to Baltimore. He stayed in Southern California. He actually picked up 6 mounts on Saturday at Santa Anita at the draw yesterday. So the horses named with Juan Hernandez will need a different rider at Pimlico.
Okay, so in other words, no Muth, no Hernandez.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
All right. Now we get to the 12th race, the Pimlico Special, 1 3/16. This is the same distance as the Preakness Stakes tomorrow. This is for the older handicap horses, 3-year-olds and up, a Grade 3. I do believe that this race was created when Seabiscuit and War Admiral had their showdown many, many years ago. And they called it Pimlico Special then, and they kept the race ever since. This race has had some great winners in the past, that's for sure. All right, I'm going to try this because I got a big and bold scratch here. I think the 6 horse, which is scratch, is Time for Trouble. Is that it? Time for Trouble?
Bullseye.
You got it.
You got it right.
Okay, the 6 in that 12th race is scratch. That takes Flavian Pratt sitting in the jocks room because he was scheduled to ride that horse. The 8-5 favorite, the 7-5 favorite is King's Beards with Luis Saez. The 8-5 second choice is Red Route 1 with Joel Rosario aboard. Does this race come down to a lock 'em up cue, John?
Not for me. King's Barnes quite a bit in here, Ralph. This is a horse that came off the layoff at Gulfstream, and he won his comeback going 7 furlongs, but it wasn't pretty. I was hoping he'd take a step forward at Keeneland last time, and he did. He looked like a completely different horse around 2 turns. He gets the more distance today, which is only going to help him. And I think this is an improving horse that may be going to the top, you know, right with the really good handicap horses this year. He's got tactical speed. There's going to be a little pace from Harlow Cap and Pyrenees. I think he sits tracking those and gets first run on Red Route Run, and he'll get the job done here. He's 7-5 in the program and a single for me in that All Stakes Pick 5 today.
All right. When I went to you, John, we had Jonathan shaking his head real no like that, just like you. He doesn't think it's a lock 'em up cue, but he might have a different version of it not being locked up. Jonathan?
I do have a little different version of it. I do agree that King's Barnes is the horse to beat, but I think Pyrenees, the 4 horse, mm-hmm. If you really get 8-1, you have to play this horse. This horse is just getting good. There's no moisture, obviously, left in the track. If the track was off, I would absolutely love this horse, but it's not off. But I make it 2-4-4-2 here, and you know, hopefully the four and one don't hook up. And if the four just sits or lets the one go, you know, I like 2-4-4-2 era. I think that's the number to be playing.
Well, then you do like the lock 'em up cue. It's just that you think that the four horse Pyrenees will be the one that finishes first.
Yeah, I mean, he's 8-1. If I like both horses, I'm always going to go for the price. You know, again, there's nothing wrong with John's horse. His horse is certainly the horse to beat. But at the price, I got to go with the four.
All right, that's your lock 'em up with a nice price there. But so none of you guys give Red Route 1 any respect at all in this race?
Well, he's going to need a pace duel, and I don't think he's going to get it here. He comes from out of the clouds, and I just don't think – not at 8-5, not at a short price. If it was a price – okay, but as the favorite, I would certainly try to beat him.
John?
Yeah, he's got a little bit of hang in him, Ralph. He likes to run second and third a lot, and okay at 5-1 if you want to take the chance, but at 8-5, that's just not a horse I want to back.
Okay. And by the way, the Pimlico Racecourse, from the races that I've seen, looked like it, even though with the off going, it was pretty well fair, the racetrack there over the last couple of days, don't you?
Yeah, we said it earlier. Yesterday, the track was dead even. You could win from anywhere, and hopefully it stays the same way today.
And I know that John agrees with you there, right, John?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's, you know, five of the six stakes races, but the big one of the day, of course, is the Black Eyed Susan. It's for three-year-old fillies. This is in line with the Kentucky Oaks. The Black Eyed Susan, of course, is the counterpart to that 2 weeks later from the Derby on Preakness weekend. And the Black Eyed Susan is 1 1/8 on the main track for three-year-old fillies, 300,000 to grade two. Post time is around 2:44 p.m. Pacific time for this race. And I think there's only one or two of the fillies that actually competed in the Kentucky Oaks that are making it their way to the Black Eyed Susan. I know that number three, Lemon Muffin, is one of them, with Flavie and Pratt at 4-1. And the favorite in the race, lukewarm at 5-2, is Purposo with Tyler Gaffleone. And so I'll ask Jonathan to go first on how you see this Black Eyed Susan today.
Well, I really like two horses in the race. I like Gunsong from the Mark Henning barn, and I like Corposo, who ran very well as a two-year-old. And this horse has three career starts. I'm sorry, she didn't run as a two-year-old. She has three career starts, and she's really run well in all of them. I think she could get a great trip in here. Tyler Gaffleone, I like the rider switch. Lemon Muffin is going to be way over bit. Look, you go from Keith Asmussen, take nothing away from him, to Flavie and Pratt. But I don't want any part of that horse at 4-1. You know, she's going to be over bit because of the jockey change. I like the 5 and 7 in there, and I give a slight edge to the 7.
Okay, and by the way, Lemon Muffin is the only filly that ran in the Kentucky Oaks that's coming back 2 weeks later for the Black Eyed
Susan. That's Lucas. Lucas takes every opportunity, Ralph. If there's a race, he's entering. So
yeah, if you put your head in the feed tub and you eat the feed, you're going to run. That's for sure. That's the way Lucas sees it. The coach, how do you see it, John?
This is a tough race to me, Ralph. You know, of the speed horses, you know, Recharge will be on the lead, and Corposo will keep her honest. And Gunsong coming off a tough trip last time in the Gulfstream Park Oaks, where she was kind of banged around between horses and had to move early. To me, she's the best of the speed horses, but at the very least, I think the pace is going to be honest. I'm going to take a shot with number 6 in here. Who could ask for Mo? This is a filly that's gotten better around two turns. You know, she wasn't quite ready for the Gazelle last time, but she never quit running. She tried. I like Shug McGahey adding blinkers on this filly today. She's an improving filly who's going to like the 1 1/8, going to get some pace to set her up. She'll need an all-time career best to win it, but I think she's coming up to a good one. So she's a fair price. I like number 6, Who Could Ask for Mo in here. Gunsong, probably the one she has to run down. I would take a stand against Corposo. I thought she had a very easy trip in the Santa Anita Oaks behind a fast pace, and she ranged up and just flattened out. You know, unless the fillies back there just aren't a whole lot, I would think that she'd be in trouble in this race. But we'll find out. It's a race I'm going to spread to try and knock out that pick 5, because it really is hard to line up with any single filly here in the Black Eyed Susan.
Yeah, it does look very competitive, that's for sure. And, of course, it's all on how they take to the Pimlico racetrack itself as well. And in that race, number six, who could ask for more? Oh, man, if we can ask for Mo, I should say, who can ask for Mo? By the way, she is an offspring of Uncle Mo. We get her home, and we're going to get Mo money for than the regular average bear, that's for sure. So the six horse is your key with Luis Saez aboard. And, of course, pretty wide open in this race as well. In betting the race, I guess you'd have to, you know, go pretty deep as far as getting some horses around in the number for exactas and trifectas. Right, Jonathan?
Yeah, but I would go down with, I guess, the 5, 6, and 7. I would use those three horses. Again, I'm going to try to beat Lemon Muffin at 4-1. I don't see any edge in playing that horse back on just 2 weeks at a short price.
And, John, same thing with you. You're going to try to mix it up a little and key your horse?
Yeah, how I play inside the race will depend on how I'm doing in the rolling bets here. If I'm alive, I'm going to be spread, so I'll be able to collect on several horses if I on the pick five if I'm still alive. If I am, I'm just going to make a straight bet on who could ask for more because I'm going to get 6 or 8 to 1 there, and I don't need to mess around with the exotics because if one of the others win, I'm going to cash anyways.
All right, you got it, gentlemen. I want to thank you so much for doing this mini seminar on the stakes races today at Pimlico. Ditto for tomorrow with the Preakness Stakes. We'll go through the stakes races there tomorrow with John and Jonathan as well. But before we let them leave, now, John has already given us one of his selections that at Pimlico. His official selection on the show is number 7, Carmelina, in the 10th race. 10th race at Carmelina at Pimlico. Jonathan, do you have a selection at Pimlico as official, or are you going to two other racetracks?
Yeah, I do. I like the 4th race today, Ralph. 5 furlongs on the turf, and I love the number 3 horse in here, Childress. 4-year-old colt from the Brittany Russell barn. Husband Sheldon Russell rides. 3rd start back off of a layoff. This horse is going to run huge today. 4-1 in the morning line. Number 3, Childress, wins today's 4th race out of Pimlico.
All right. And we know that the Russells came with the 2 winners together yesterday. So in the 4th race today, 5 furlongs on the turf. In the 4th race, you like number 3, Childress. Childers, I should say. The 3, Childers, is your pick in the 4th race at Pimlico as an official pick. Now, John, I know that you have a Lindo report, a complete Lindo report for Santa Anita, as well as a second page for these stakes races at Pimlico and a suggested pick 5. It's all here available at the South Point free of charge in our race book, free of charge here, complimentary, but only here. You can only get it here in Las Vegas at the South Point today, the Lindo report. So before I let you go, we'll get your selection at Santa Anita and then Jonathan's other selection as well.
I'll go right to the opener, 1 o'clock post time at Santa Anita in the 1st race today. Number 5, Scorpion Shot, missed the break in his sprint debut, got shuffled back at last, just had a miserable trip. You throw that out, he's trained like he wants to go 2 turns. He's improved in the morning out of that race. And at 8-1, there's value here. So I like number 5, Scorpion Shot, race 1 at Santa Anita. Maybe a saver exacta box at number 3, Luther Pass, but I think that'll get the job done.
All right. In the 1st race, 1 o'clock post time, Pacific time here for Santa Anita, the 5, Scorpion Shot, 8-1 on the morning line with Edwin Maldonado. The 5 in the 1st race, Santa Anita's John Lendo's selection there, his official selection as well. And what did you think about that tweet from Anton Giorgi about the Golden Gate? He thinks there's enough horses there.
I heard there's about 700 horses at the track at Golden Gate, so that's not a ton. And they've got a 3-day weekend next week and Memorial Day weekend. So they're trying to space it out and get to the wire. It's kind of sad to see what's happening, to be honest, Ralph.
Yeah, no question about that. All right, thanks a lot. Before we let you both of you go, we're going to get back to Jonathan for his second selection on the show.
Aqueduct, race 6, Ralph, number 3, 10 Cent Town, 4-year-old colt from the Richard Dutrow barn. Jose Gomez aboard to ride. This horse ran huge on a wet track, 2 starts back, gets that wet track today. Number 3, 10 Cent Town, pick 5, pick 4, pick 6 single in today's 6th race out at Aqueduct.
Well, you guys are doing a yeoman's job, not only for race day, but for your customers as well. As I say, Jonathan's Linda report has covered all the stakes races here at Pimlico. And of course, John Lindo, your Linda report does. And Jonathan, I know that you got full sheets for 4 tracks, right?
3 tracks.
3
yeah.
tracks.
Churchill, San. Actually, it is 4. You're right. Yeah. Churchill, Santa Anita, Pimlico, and Aqueduct.
Belmont at Aqueduct. Yes.
Can't keep up with you, Ralph.
Yeah, I know those four. But you guys are doing a great job. I want to thank you so much for this. We'll do the same ditto tomorrow for Preakness Day. In the meantime, we will let you guys go back to work.
Thank you. Right, thanks, John. Be well. Right. Stay safe, guys.
Take it easy, John.
We're coming back, hopefully, with Rich Engel stop by, as well as Jerry Jackowitz. So we're continuing with this Friday Black Eyed Susan Day here at the Race Day Show from the South Point Studios. Don't go away. We'll be back.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas, and now we're going to go quickly to Rich Eng. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody that here at the South Point, you can start betting on the Preakness Day card on the Preakness for tomorrow, today. You can bet those races today here at the book. And as far as on Preakness Day proper, the race book here in South Point will be open at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Remember, first post time is 7:30 tomorrow morning Pacific time. But the book will be open for business and betting at 7 a.m. tomorrow for tomorrow's races, of course, or any of the races tomorrow. And, of course, you can play the Preakness Stakes and those races on the Pimlico card for tomorrow, today, in the race book here. Now we go to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rafi.
Well, my man, you heard a lot of what John and Jonathan had to say. Had you taken a look at all of the Black Eyed Susan?
Yeah, I did look at the Black Eyed Susan. And actually, I made a horse out of there, my simulcast play of the day. And it is the Lucas horse, the number 3 Lemon Muffin. And, you know, this is like typical D-Way Lucas. I mean, you look at the last two races, and the horse was beaten miserably twice. And all of a sudden, he puts the horse on a van and ships to Baltimore anyway, mm-hmm. out of the Kentucky Oaks. She kind of looks like a grade one animal facing horses who, quite frankly, are not grade one animals. So I give Lucas a huge shot at 4-1. And I know Jonathan said that's a play against because of the price. But I really think if she's like a surest type winner, I would play her at 4-1.
So you kind of think that dismal effort she had in the Kentucky Oaks was just something she didn't like.
Yeah, I don't know the reason why she ran so poorly, but, you know, Lucas is, you know, we've been following him around for more than 4-5 decades. And, you know, when his horses, you know, feel okay and they're still eating and training well, I mean, he will run. He's not going to skip. Yeah. So I think if for him to go to Baltimore, I think it is a real positive sign.
So your look at the race, you like the 3 Lemon Muffin for all those reasons. 4-1 on the morning line. And a key jockey change, I think, to Flavian Pratt. No knock against Asmussen because that kid's doing very well. But I think that the experience that Pratt has in big races, et cetera, may help her out. Flavian Pratt aboard there, the 3 horse in the 13th race, the Black Eyed Susan at Pimlico. Now we'll get back to Santa Anita for today's pick. Richie?
Yeah, I've had a good week. I had a winner on Wednesday, had a winner on Thursday, and let's see if we can keep the ball rolling for the rest of the week, Ralph.
You better
believe it. Let's go to a horse that I'm just going to use as a single in my early pick five at Santa Anita. Race number three, it's a mile, and the horse I like is the number three, Dark Marcus. I know this horse is 0 for 21, Ralph, but I tell you what, you look at the rest of the field and the fact that the horse has run in the money 10 times. Looks like a great resume compared to some of these others. So this is a single for me in the early pick five. The three, Dark Marcus, has finally met a horse that he can dominate in the third race.
Met a field that he can dominate, I guess, is the saying here. That's for sure. Third race, number three. The three in the third race at Santa Anita is your play on the Race Day Las Vegas show. And it, hopefully it'll be the third win in a row for us. How about that?
Yeah, let's keep cashing tickets, Ralph.
Let's keep the mojo going. That's right. I wanted you to remind everybody about your coverage of the Preakness Day and the Preakness Stakes tomorrow at Pimlico.
Yeah, I did a full card report analysis for Brisnet.com. It's 6 pages long, and I go in a deep dive in all 14 races. It's available, Ralph, at the RaceDayLasVegas.com website. It does cost $20, but, you know, considering what the came out of the Kentucky Derby, I think it's been well worth it. A lot of repeat customers. So it's available, again, on the RaceDayLasVegas.com website.
And, of course, today's racing card as well at Santa Anita, available there as well on our websites. And, of course, we will have your thoughts about the Preakness Stakes on this show tomorrow as well. Let's get three in a row there, Richie. Thanks a lot, my man.
Hey, sounds good, Ralph. Hey, thanks, and good luck, everybody.
All right, we're going to go to our final break on this show. When we come back, we're in search of Jerry Jackowitz, so don't go away. Jerry had a couple of nice plays for us yesterday. We'll wait and see if he has the same today, so we'll be right back. Don't go away on this Friday Race Day show. And again, remember that we will do the same kind of handicapping seminar for the races tomorrow on Preakness Day. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All right, again, I want to remind everybody out there that on tomorrow's show, we're going to go over all of the stakes races at Pimlico as we did today with John and Jonathan, and there's plenty of them. At Pimlico tomorrow, you got the Skip Pass Stakes, the Chick Lang Stakes, the Gallarette, the Maryland Sprint, the James W. Murphy, the Sir Barton, which is in honor of the first Triple Crown winner ever, the Jim McKay Turf Sprint, the Dinner Party. Of course, the Preakness Stakes as well, a grade one. So we'll be going over all those races. Now we're going to go right to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph.
Well, my man, I know that you don't normally do a Pimlico race course. I know you will be doing the Preakness Stakes for everybody on your sheets tomorrow. That included with your Aqueduct and your Santa Anita Power Pages.
Yeah, it'll come as the next race, the last race plus one for. It'll be right there on whatever sheet you pick up.
Yeah, and it's a nice big sheet that goes over all of the horses in the race, and of course your thoughts about that.
Well, that'll be a secondary sheet that'll be attached.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Did you have any thoughts about the Black Eyed Susan today or no interest?
Yeah, that they were sort of a weak bunch and didn't deserve the $300,000 that was being offered.
Oh, really? So a weak bunch at best then?
Yeah, that's sort of the way they look to me. I don't know. I'm not really – that's just an impression, and it's not really important because, again, these are young three-year-old fillies, mm-hmm. and they're on their way to getting better and bigger, faster, and – and so where they're going to be is what's really important.
Well, Jerry,
so far they're not much.
Now, you've talked a lot about betting strategies, et cetera. And on the show, often when you give your selections out, which you will in just a minute, you give a horse and then you give link-ups and you say always reverse them. And I have heard you more than one time say sometimes it's better if the reverse horse wins beat your key horse because it pays off better. And that's exactly what happened yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had two plays and one was one paid 430 and I had it listed as a 3-5 shot. So the delta between, say, 360 and 430 is phenomenal. You're talking about like,
right. I'm talking about the other one, though.
50% premium. And then in the next last week, we got beat at the wire. We got 97-1 on the exacta.
That's right. A $97 exacta from a $37 link up winner that just beat the key horse. So remember that, folks. You know, sometimes it's better to get beat, be almost right, and cash with the link-ups, that's for sure.
Right, yeah. That race was definitely my race. So.
Okay, let's get started. Where are we going? Aqueduct first?
Yeah, we're going to go to Aqueduct, and we're off the turf in the first and the fifth, so I'm going to give you the eighth race at the Big A. And I like Kalik, the 7 horse for Chad Brown, listed at 6-1, first-time gelding. Don't play that music.
Right? I am not going to do that.
Coming off a layoff, but... the horse won the Pennine Ridge last year, and he's really good off a layoff. And at 6-1, I think it's a great value. That's the 7 horse. I'll play the 7 with a wide spread. I'm playing the 7 over the 4, 9, 10, and then again with the 1 and 6 for less money. But it's the 7 over the 1, 4, 6, 9, and 10, where the 4, 9, and 10 get more money than the 1 and the 6.
All right, so it's a pretty big spread, but you've laid it out just the way you think it ought to be. And in the eighth race, you like the 7 Kalik, you like it linked up to 1, 4, 6, 9, and 10 and reverse. And again, a little bit more with who?
On the 4, 9, and 10.
Okay, we got 20 seconds. We got 20 seconds left for Sandini to go.
Let's do the second race. I love the 5. She's got away. 5 over the 2, 3, 4 small reverses.
All right. There you go. See, Jerry can do it when he wants to. That's for sure. Second race, the 5 over 2, 3, 4 in reverse. That at Santa Anita. And we wrap up the race day show by saying it was jam-packed today. We want to thank all of our handicappers for their contributions today. And, of course, you most of all for listening and watching. In the meantime, until tomorrow's big Preakness Day show, Jerry's got one more thing left to say, and he's going to say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.